Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headley. So, Celeste, all aboard. Let's go.
Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course. This is the Polar Express.
With the climate change clock ticking, there is quite literally a race on to the North Pole, with global warming predictions suggesting that polar ice may essentially vanish in the next 15 to 30 years. There is suddenly competition for what could become the last ocean frontier. We're joined this morning by Anthony Russell. He's a lieutenant commander in the United States Coast Guard and heads up communication for the commandant of the Coast Guard. He's also just recently returned from a trip to the Arctic. Anthony Russell, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, John. Thanks for having us.
So let's talk, first of all, about this report that was published in the journal Science yesterday that suggests that the Arctic is as warm as it's been in 2,000 years. You just visited the Arctic. What signs are there that that is indeed the case?
Well, I haven't read that report, but I can tell you that the Arctic is heating up twice as fast as the rest of the world. And 2007 and 2008 were both record low years for the sea ice coverage. So what we're seeing from the Coast Guard perspective is basically more water, more operating water up there that we haven't seen before, and we're responsible for making sure we can execute our missions there.
Is there
we took a trip.
Is there a competition? Is there a competition, and does the U.S. need to get on top of this sort of scramble for the Arctic, and how, where do we stand on that?
Well, the reality is, you know, those are U.S. territorial waters and exclusive economic zones that we have sovereign responsibilities and obligations to protect, to provide for safety, security, and stewardship of those waters. As activities go on and increase in terms of shipping, ecotourism, energy exploration, fishing, we need to be thinking now how we're going to manage those increasing activities going forward in the future. And we need to do that in a cooperative fashion, both domestically, across our government, and internationally with the other Arctic nations.
So, Anthony Russell, take a listen to this. This is actually from some YouTube video that we pulled, which is actually made by the U.S. Coast Guard. Listen to this. Here's the sound of a Coast Guard cutter ramming the ice in late August of this year. What are you seeing when this is going on?
Well, one of the things to understand as we think about diminishing sea ice is it doesn't mean the ice is going away. It just means there's less of the seasonal ice. But there's still significant ice flows up there that create navigational hazards so that any shipping traffic that goes on up there, you know, they're going to be potentially at risk of having an incident with that. And we're going to have to be in a position to provide search and rescue support, environmental response, and things of that nature. I can tell you as a cutterman who's spent a lot of time at sea, those sounds aren't what you would normally hear down in the Caribbean where I've operated. So it shows you the harshness of that climate.
So, Anthony Russell, you have made other trips to the Arctic. I mean, what we're really talking about is climate change is probably causing the Arctic to heat up. Melting ice, it means larger chunks are loose and breaking up and more water. Is it looking substantially different now? I mean, are we actually seeing the higher temperatures change the landscape of the Arctic?
You are. While we were on our trip last week, 2 weeks ago, we went to the town of Shishmaref, which is basically eroding on both sides. And one of the causes believed to be causing that is the shorter periods of seasonal ice, which normally serves as kind of a shield for that that town. With less ice, the waves are able to spend a lot more time eating away at the island and creating a problem where they actually are beginning to consider whether or not they need to move the entire community.
Wow. Joining us now is Janos Pastor, who's director of the United Nations Secretary General's Climate Change Support Team. He joins us from Geneva. Mr. Pastor, you accompanied the Secretary General on this trip this week to the Arctic to look at climate change issues. First of all, what did you see? And secondly, what is the UN's role if nations in the Northern Hemisphere start scrambling for territorial waters that are suddenly opened up by climate change?
Good morning. And indeed, I was with the Secretary General earlier this week up at 81, 82 degrees north, seeing the diminishing ice. And the role of the Secretary General here is in particular to bring global attention to the problem that is caused by climate change. And who is better placed than the Secretary General of the United Nations to bring this message to the rest of the world? While we were there, of course, we spoke with scientists and we heard some of the latest data, the latest information about the environmental impact, but also about the geopolitical impacts that one can expect with the opening up of the northern shipping routes that will bring some very, very tremendous geopolitical implications, not just on the countries, the Nordic countries that are on the Arctic, but on the rest of the world, too.
Janos Pastor, both of you, Janos and Anthony Russell, I would suspect, would attest that the Arctic is a very, very beautiful place. But are we looking, first Janos and then Anthony, at some tough conflict over sea lanes if things don't get nailed down in some sort of an agreement early on? Janos?
Well, there is a UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, and at least for those countries that have signed it, that are signatories, that applies, and at least there is a context within which one can deal with some of those issues. There are, of course, some countries who have not signed that treaty, and for them that remains an issue.
Anthony Russell, take us out. Is there the potential for conflict with the Russians and other nations over sea lanes in the Arctic if we don't get started on making agreements?
Well, it is our position that the United States should ratify the Convention on the Law of the Seas to avoid those conflicts and to provide an international method to resolve those disputes and improve our ability to work cooperatively to manage the issues going on in the Arctic region. Like you said, the Arctic is beautiful, and I think for the United States, the Arctic is actually a national treasure, but it's a vulnerable one, and we need to work together to protect it.
All right. Both of our guests are working to protect the Arctic. Anthony Russell is Lieutenant Commander in the U.S. Coast Guard and Press Secretary to the Coast Guard Commandant. He joined us from Washington, D.C. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you.
And Janos Pastor is Director of the United Nations Secretary General's Climate Change Support Team. He traveled with Ban Ki-moon to the Arctic this week. Janos, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.